Welcome, everyone, to NFB of Indiana, Top Tech in 2020. It is May 2nd, 2020. My name is Michael Loff, and along with many members of NFB and a few other guests checking in, seeing what we're all about, we're going to talk today about some of the great technology going on in 2020. And as we said, we would talk about the new iPhone SE, and I'm also going to tell you how you can get the phone and a monthly access with unlimited voice and texting for $30 a month. So we'll talk about that coming up. We're going to talk about four different technologies that are competing with Zoom and which one of those is probably the most important that you might want to learn, especially if you're doing any interactions with the state of Indiana, because they are using one of them instead of Zoom. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the Freestyle Libre, which is a device you can use to read your blood sugar without having to stick your finger. And, I mean, you may occasionally, but for the most part, you won't have to. So that can make your life a lot easier, allow you to take many more readings throughout the day, find out what foods are good for you and what foods maybe not so good for you. But we're going to begin with, by request of Pam Schnurr. She asks us to talk about talking television sets. So what we want to do is, if any of you have a TV within the last 4 to 5 years, it is very possible that that television talks. If you get through the menus, you might find that it actually talks. There's a number of TVs from Sony, TCL, Samsung, and Toshiba, Insignia, quite a few TVs that actually talk. So what I thought we would first do, with permission, we got a demo by a gentleman named Jeff Bennett, who demoed the Amazon Fire TV. This is a television made by Toshiba. And the reason this one's very popular is that it sells for about $129, and it's a 32-inch TV. And it has built-in speech in it. So, like I said, a lot of them do. And we'll talk about maybe if you're a Comcast user, other TVs you might look at. But this one has a lot of accessibility, a great screen reader, and a lot of functions built in. So we're going to talk about that. Then we'll come back. We'll let Bill Sparks put in his two cents because he owns one of the televisions. So actually owns a Toshiba that he has in Indianapolis, and then an Insignia that he has in his second home in Florida. So, but first we will play the demo from Jeff Bennett, which is about 18 minutes. Then we'll come back and talk about TVs. And in the second half, we'll talk about the iPhone SE and the other things that we mentioned earlier. So here's an 18-minute demo from Jeff Bennett on the Toshiba Fire TV.
This is Jeff Bennett. This week, we're going to take a look at the new Toshiba 43-inch UHD Fire TV. This television set is sold by Best Buy and Amazon.com, and there's a corporate venture between both companies. The TV is a Fire TV, and it has the Amazon Fire TV operating system. Why this television set? Because this television set is able to be used by a totally blind individual without any sight of assistance. The television comes in three models, a 43-inch, a 50-inch, and a 55-inch model. When you get the TV home, what comes in the box? Well, of course, you get the TV. You get a user's manual, a quick start guide, the TV remote, the stand, and the mounting hardware to mount the stand to the television set. You may need assistance getting the TV out of the TV box and mounting the stand to the television set. I asked a friend of mine to come over, and he helped me remove the TV from the box, and he helped me install the TV stand. I placed the TV stand on top of my TV stand, which is a large shelf that contains a cabinet which holds DVDs. On the right rear of the television set is a receptacle to insert the power cord. Inside the box with the remote are two AAA batteries. Place those batteries in the remote following the manufacturer's directions. Next, plug the power cord into the back of the TV and the other end of the power cord into an electric outlet. You will now hear a series of tones. These are pairing tones, which pair your remote to the television set. If the pairing tones continue and the remote doesn't pair properly, hold the home key down. This should solve this problem. Before we continue, let's take a look at the remote. When you get the remote out of the box and the batteries are installed in the remote, you'll see a series of buttons. Look for a small button on the top right-hand side of the remote. This is the power button. Depressing this once turns the TV on. Depressing it again turns the TV off. Just to the left of the power button is a larger button, and that's the microphone button. Depressing it and holding it in lets you talk to your Amazon voice assistant. We'll talk about that a little later on. Below that, there are three buttons in an arc. The most left button is the back button. The next button is the home button, and the following button is the menu button. The home button gets you to the home screen on the television, where all the action starts. The menu button is used to activate menu items, and the back button is used to get you to the previous menu item. Below the series series of buttons is a navigation ring. In the center of the ring is a button that's used to select an item. The ring is a navigation pad. The ring moves to the left, right, up, and down. And when you get to the item that's spoken, you use the select button to select it. Below this pad is a series of three buttons also displayed in an arc. The left-hand button is the rewind button. The middle button is the play pause button. And the right-hand button is the fast forward button. Below the play pause button is a long rocker switch. This is the volume knob. Moving it in the upward direction moves the volume up. Moving it in the downward direction moves the volume down. To the left and right of that rocker switch in the center are two different buttons. The button to the left is the TV button. No matter where you are in the TV menus, you'll hit that button and you'll go to the channels that you've scanned in. We'll talk about that later on. On the right-hand side of the rocker switch, you'll find an indented button, and that's the mute button. Wherever you are in the menus or wherever you are on the TV set, it will mute whenever you push this button once, unmute when you push it again. If you've forgotten that you've muted your television set, pushing the volume knob up or down will unmute the TV automatically. Below that, there are four square buttons. The first button on the left is for Amazon Prime Video. The next button to the right is for Netflix. The next two buttons are dedicated buttons for HBO and PlayStation View. Once you've paired your TV remote to your television, you can turn on Voice View by holding the menu key and the back key simultaneously. This should take about 2 seconds. Now that we've introduced you to the television set and its remote, let's travel to the living room and put this TV through its paces.
Now that I've provided a description of the Toshiba Fire TV, let's see how it works. First of all, in the rear left-hand side of the television set, you'll find your HDMI inputs and a USB input, as well as a TAS connector, that's a digital connector, and the headphone jack. Let's turn the television set on and see how this all works. The TV set is on, and where are we? Well, we can find out by using the navigation wheel. This navigation wheel is crucial in beginning to understand how to use this television set.
Your video, home, 2 of 7, search, 1 of 7.
There are different menu items. We have search,
home, 2 of your videos,
videos,
3 of movies,
movies,
4 TV shows, apps, 6 settings,
and settings,
7 of 7.
Let's go back to home.
App, search, home, 2 of 7.
In the home screen, you'll find all of the menu items related to the home screen below the home menu item. That's the main menu item. And we're using the navigation wheel. That's the wheel that moves left, right, up, and down with the selector in the center of the wheel. So, what happens now? Well, the first thing you want to do with this television set is you want to be able to watch television channels. And you can do this. I'm going to explain this first rather than going into all the other features because it's the most important part of using this television set. So, we're going to go to where the volume knob is, and it's the buttons below rewind, play, pause button, and fast forward button. It's a little arc, and the button for the volume knob, or the long bar for the volume control, is located below and right below the play, pause. So let's hit the what's on television, that's the TV button, and that's the left-hand side of the volume knob.
18 items, Criminal Minds, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m., Monday, July 30th, Channel Guide, use up and down to move between channels.
Now,
use
the channel guide is a grid.
Between programs inside a channel.
And the channel grid contains the programs within the grid, and as you use up and down, you can go from channel to channel. Let me explain. Let's go down using the navigation wheel.
LifeLock Protection, 1:30 p.m. to 2 p.m., Channel Guide, use up and down to move between
channels.
And
if we want to find out the name
use
of that channel,
right to move
we can hit the menu key.
Inside station name Ion Life.
And that's Ion Life. And if I want to find out what's on next on Ion Life, I can hit the right arrow on the navigation wheel. That's the right-hand side of the wheel. It'll tell me what future programs are up.
At Home with Daddy Iyer, 2 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. At Home with Daddy Iyer, 2:30 p.m. to 3 p.m.
And of course, those are programs that are coming up in the future.
Entertainment channels, Monday, July 30th. Getting off the grid, Daddy Iyer shares some great travel destinations that will inspire becoming a more responsible traveler. At Home with LifeLock Protection, Crime Stories, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m.
And I'm hitting the menu key.
Station name, Justin.
So let's say I wanted to watch this channel. I would hit the select key, which is in the center of the navigation wheel.
Just 10.3 Crime Stories. The Victoria Day Shooter. 17 items.
To his place of business.
Player Chrome. Use down button to bring up on now row.
Fugitive grows stronger. In a gun safe, amongst other firearms, police...
Pause. Just 10.3.
Now, if I want to find out what's on all of the different channels at a particular time, I can use the on now row, which at this point you get to by using the down arrow on that navigation path, which is for pressing the wheel in the down position.
Crime Stories. Just 1 of 17. Criminal Minds, Ion, 2 of 17. LifeLock Protection, Ion Life, 3 of 17. Saving a Sterling Silver Jewelry, New, HSN, 4 of 17.
And again, we can watch this channel as well.
Up next, Saving a Sterling Silver Jewelry.
and it tells us what's on now and what's coming up. This is known as a mini program guide, and it's quite comparable to what you would see if you're using your cable box as well. But what about other things that this television can do? Well, the television will allow me to play videos, and let me show you how that works. Now, we're going to your videos by going to the home screen first and moving the navigation wheel to the right once.
Your videos, 3 of 7.
And we hit enter on this.
Watch list, Superman, the movie.
Button. And these are programs that I put in my watch list, and you'll find out more
use
about this.
Use left and down to move between categories such as new releases or comedy. Use left and right to move between items in the category.
So our category Superman, is the watch the list, movie. And that's the 4. Category I'm looking
5 at. 5 out of 5 stars from 979 customers. I am the graduate, Prime, button. The Four Skulls of Jonathan Drake, Prime, button.
And these are movies that I've also wanted to
the
watch
four
and
skulls
have watched.
Of the Adventures of Superman, Season 1, button.
And if it says Season 1, button without the word
the
Prime.
The Adventures of Superman, 4.5 out of 5 stars from 3, Fireball XL, Indestructible Man, Prime. Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams, Season 1, Ultra HD, Prime, button. Sahara, button. Nothing in Common. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Double Indemnity, button. Film Noir, DOA, Prime, but Courageous Cat and Minute Mouse, Prime, button.
I have kind of an esoteric view of what I like to watch.
Great Invaders from Mars, the original version, Prime. Shirley Temple, The Little Princess in Color, Prime, but Jack Benny TV Show, Prime. Days of Wine and Yankee Doodle Dan, How to Succeed in Business, Gone with the Wind, 1930, The Cyclops, 1957, button. The Cocaine Fiends, Prime. Set A Christmas Carol, Prime, Buck Donovan's Brain, Detective Story, button. White Heat, 1940, The Little Rascals, Carbine Williams, button.
Now, what about if I wanted to watch a video that I don't have in my library? Well, we can search, and the easiest way to do that is to say the following. And I'm going to push the button on the remote, and this is the button that turns, it would let you talk to your Amazon voice assistant. The Wizard of Oz.
Movies and TV. The Wizard of Oz, Prime, button.
Now, I want to watch this.
The Wizard of Oz. Watch now with Prime. 1 of 4. Watch trailer. 2 of 4, button. Add to watch list. 3 of 4, button.
And I could do those things, or I can...
More ways to watch. 4 of 4.
And the more ways to watch allows me to either rent it or buy it. So let's go and watch it with Prime.
Watch now with Prime. 1 of 4. Playing The Wizard of Oz. Pause.
But there's something missing here in this movie. You just heard the intro to The Wizard of Oz, but you didn't hear audio description. Well, this movie happens to have audio description. And to enable audio description, we're going to hit the menu button twice. Now, the menu button is located on that top row of buttons in an arc and all the way to the right-hand side, next to the home button.
Watch from begin. Subtitles and audio languages. Audio language. English. U.S. Drop-down list. Audio language. English. U.S. 1 of 2. Checkbox. Checked.
Now, right now it says English US. I hit the enter key or the select key for this, but it's a drop-down list.
Audio language, English UK, audio description, 2 of 2, checkbox, not checked.
I've just checked this and we'll make sure that's checked.
Audio language, English UK, audio description, 2 of 2, checkbox, checked. Check The Wizard of Oz. Audio languages, 2. Audio language, English, UK, audio description, drop down list. Loading, cider, 0%. One item.
Now, a logo of a thick maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro Goldwyn Mayer. Against a cloud swept sky, a title appears, The Wizard of Oz. Copyright 1939.
Pause.
You get the idea. There is audio description in this movie. The problem is that Amazon has not been able to implement letting you know that a movie has audio description. And as Peter Korn at Amazon Accessibility pointed out, that this is something that they are working on and should be available in a future update. We've talked about audio description, but what happens when you get this TV home and you want to find your favorite channel? Well, of course, you have to scan for channels. And we'll show you how that is done at this point. Let's go to the home screen.
Home, 2 of 7.
And we'll go to settings.
Your video movies.
Moving the navigation wheel to the right.
TV apps, settings, 7 of 7.
Now we're going to open up the settings menu by hitting the down arrow.
Inputs.
We got inputs. 13. And that's a category. We'll go to the next category.
You 2. Notification network. 3 of display and sounds, 4 applications, 5 of 13, live TV, 6
we'll
of
go
13.
To live TV.
Live TV, channel scan.
And the first thing is channel scan.
Channel management.
Channel management.
17 channels. Parental controls.
And parental controls.
3 of 3.
We're going to channel scan.
Channel scan.
So we're hitting the
1
up
of 3.
On the navigation wheel.
Rescan for available channels.
And it tells you a little bit about that. Minutes. So let's try and see what that sounds like.
Channel scan. Please make sure your antenna is set up and plugged into your device. Next. 1 of 2. Button. Advanced options, 2 of 2, button.
Now, the advanced options allow you to scan for digital channels only, digital and analog channels only, or cable channels. We can't do cable channels here because our cable system, which is Spectrum, is scrambled, and placing a cable into the antenna port of your television set won't do anything for us. So let's try this and scan for channels. This will take about 2 minutes, and we'll just come back after the scan is done.
Next, 1 of 2, button. Scanning for channels. Channels found, 0. Channel scan may take a few minutes to complete. Channel scan is 96% complete.
At any time you're scanning for channels and you want to find out the progress, hit the menu key.
Scanning for channels. Channels found, 21. Channel scan complete. We found 21 channels. To view available channels, go to the On Now row and home. Done. 1 of 3. Button. Live TV. Channel scan.
And we'll go back to
1
home.
1 of 3. Home, 2 of 7.
And we'll go to the TV guide instead.
Use left
we can use
right
the
on
row and
items.
Home, but the easy way to do this is go to the TV guide. And we'll hit the button on the left-hand side of the volume knob. The button on the right-hand side of the volume knob is the mute button.
Loading schedule, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m., Monday, July 30th. Gunsmoke, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Station name, meet, antenna channels.
And that's
Monday,
BTV.
July 30th.
And if we want to watch that again, we
a
can also...
A woman tries to force her lazy relatives to plant a crop before their landlord evicts them. Gunsmoke, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Rated TVG.
And again, if we want to watch this,
available.
We
up
can...
Up next, Bonanza.
Okay, VoiceView likes to talk, doesn't it? So let's see what that sounds like.
Meet 13.2. Gunsmoke, the sharecroppers.
I'll even
21
get you
items.
A new guitar to replace that one.
Player Chrome. Use down button to bring up On Now Row.
There is one lead, however. A supply of...
Pause. Meet 13.2.
And we're going to the program
Gunsmoke,
guide one more time.
1 p.m. Days of Our Lives. 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Monday, July 30th.
Let's hit the menu key to make it go quicker.
Station name NBC. Channel guide. Use up... Splash and Bubbles, 1:30. Station name PBS. Curious George, 2 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. Antenna channels, Monday, July 30th.
And again,
home, 2 of 7.
We learn more about what this is all about.
Use left and right to move between items.
And you're always getting an idea of what's going on with VoiceView because they have hints that tell you everything. Now let's find out how to use your Amazon Voice Assistant with the television set. I'm putting the remote down. Remember, I'm not doing anything with the remote. I'm just using my voice. To pair your Amazon Voice Assistant, you'll have to go to the Alexa app in the Amazon App Store or the Google Play Store and have those installed on your phone, whether it be an Android or an iPhone. Watch this. Echo. Switch to QVC.
QVC 55.5. Isaac Meets Ryan Live. 21 items.
Mark, are you watching Isaac tonight? No.
No. She would like
Player Chrome. Use down button to bring up On Now Row.
She'd sort of cut the
echo
cable in the neighborhood so that
switch to NBC.
Wow. I know she's really desperate.
Mark just like that.
Tune into NBC on Fire
TV. NBC 13.1. Days of Our Lives.
Eve, Eric told me everything.
No. Eric doesn't know everything.
Now we want to stop this program, so we'll just hit the center button on the navigation ring.
You're so pause.
And we've paused the program. What's interesting about this television set is as you're watching, you can actually go back and forward within a program from where you started. This television set is always recording what you're watching. Finally, I'd like to show you how the mute works in this television set. The mute is the small indented button to the right of the volume bar. So let's just turn on our television here.
Big unknown.
And we're watching Days of Our Lives. So if I want to mute,
what do you think would happen if
I hit this button and it mutes? And if you've forgotten that you've muted, you can hit the up or down on the volume knob to change the state of that particular item.
It's good.
Echo.
No.
Turn off Fire TV.
Okay.
Home, 2 of 7, screen off.
Now what you can also do is turn it back on again. Echo, turn on Fire TV.
Okay.
And the Fire TV is turned on, and we're back at the home screen. I hope this gives you a brief idea of how this television works. This is not a tutorial, so I didn't explain how everything works, but I gave you a bit of what you can do with this particular television. Now we're going to turn off the television set, and I'll provide you with more information on where you can buy this television set, the model number, and you can get in touch with me.
Well, I hope I provided you with a bit of insight into the remarkable usability of this television set by a totally blind individual. As I said at the beginning of this demo, this television set is available at Amazon.com, and it is also available at Best Buy. When you search for this television, you can search for this television using the Best Buy website or the Amazon.com website, and if you put in the search terms Toshiba Fire TV, you'll have no problems finding this product. And the model number is 43LF621U19. And for the 50-inch model, just replace the number 43 with the number 50, same with the 55-inch model. Now, if you'd like to get in touch with Best Buy, their customer service toll-free hotline is 888-237-8289. That's 888-237-8289. The phone number for the Amazon.com disability hotline is 888-283-1678. That's 888-283-1678. And if you'd like to find out more about this TV from my perspective, why don't you send me an email? My email address here is Jeff, that's J-E-F-F, Jeff, at allthingsradio.net.
All right, so that gives a good overview. Keep in mind, a voice view is the name of the screen reader, so even if you get a different TV, you will kind of have that same functionality as far as using the remote. A couple other things I want to just highlight that he talked about. One about getting the local over-the-air TV channel. So, A, that's something you do not have to pay for, but you have to buy an antenna, which just looks like a square. It's kind of made of plastic, and it's a little cable connector, and you plug it into your TV. In Evansville, I get about 24 channels. I believe Bill said he gets almost 40 in Indianapolis, so we'll talk to Bill here very shortly. So you have that. We can tell you antennas are anywhere from $10 up to $100. More expensive is not always better, but may help you if you really want to get everything and put something up outside, so it depends on where you live. But I got a simple $12 antenna. It works very well, and I'll give that information if anyone needs it. I don't have it right in front of me, but we'll give that. So, but again, I want to point out that there are other options as well. First, if you already have an existing TV and you have a free HDMI port, you can simply buy the Amazon Fire Stick or a Fire Pendant. So you can buy that for about $39, I believe. There's a few different ones. Maybe Bill can talk more about that. So you can equip an existing TV with that technology, with the remote and the ability to control it that way. So it's an exciting time. It's constantly evolving. There's other ways to approach this as well. Some people use the Google Home device and use their, maybe they either have YouTube TV or something like that. So there's a number of other ways to accomplish this. I have a Sony TV I bought in 2016 that actually has two different screen readers in it. So you have a choice of how information is read. So first let's talk to Bill here. Now, Bill, you got a different TV that's much more more economical, though that 43, I think, is like $279. It's not very expensive, so.
Right. I got mine on sale for $89, and that TV, one of the things, the models have changed just a little bit from when Jeff did that, but that TV, not only that remote control, you can use that TV for your Audible books. You can use it for all your radio stations. You can tell her to play such and such, music, XM, you know, Sirius XM. There's so many different ways you can use that. You can set an alarm, sleep alarm, all those types of things that you can do with that. We like it so well. I have actually three of the little ones here and maybe two at home back in Indiana. So we like them. I got them on sale, range anywhere from a 50-inch down to the 32-inch, but the tone is great. It's very, very, very much accessible. So if there's any questions about that television, I'll be glad to answer any of them.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and take questions, and it's a small enough group. Just state your first name, and then we'll call on you in turn and manage it that way and see what folks want to know.
And maybe they don't.
No, maybe not. Maybe.
But it's a great.
Plus, Lee Martin.
Yeah, Lee.
Thank you for Bill coming on here, Bill. The voice. Can you change the voice on those televisions?
You can't change the, but you can slow it down. Like when some people do these demos, I'm either getting old or the speech is too fast for me. So I like it slowed down just a little bit. You can change the pitch and the volume, but you cannot change the voice.
Yeah, well, I think it's a great voice, but yeah, you can make it louder because sometimes the TV drowns out the voice a little bit, so you can make the voice louder. As Bill said, slow it down. Yeah,
but I like it slowed down just a little bit.
Yeah, the reason I asked about the voice is like with the Newsline voice, you can change that voice for different pitches for people with different, hearing.
Yes, you can do the pitches, just not change actual voices, but you can change the pitches.
Yeah, pitch, speed, and volume, but no, yeah, that's one voice. You get her.
You get one voice, but you can change, like Mike said, pitch, volume, so, and the rest.
Okay, and you mentioned something about Fire Stick. Now, if I'm correct here, is there anything? Can you use like a jailbreak Fire Stick on something like that?
Well, we don't want to go into that here. I mean, that can be done, but...
Well, I mean, just a question, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's up to you if you want to jailbreak your Fire Stick. However, Comcast will call you out on it, so you if you're going to get there, you better have a VPN or something. But we'll just talk about the legit Fire Sticks that you can buy, $29,
$39. Actually, $50 now, Michael.
Are they $50? Okay.
You know, here's my theory on that. If I can get a television for $89, it's a lot better to me to have it all in one than using the Fire. I mean, the Fire Stick's not bad. Now, don't get me wrong. But if I can have it all built into one thing that I don't have to keep switching around, that's good for me. But that option is out there of the Fire Stick.
Right, the Fire Sticks, if you have an existing TV that doesn't talk, you can plug it in.
You don't want to change television, but you can use it in any flavor, Lee.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions from anyone?
About the Amazon television. It changes the way you watch TV. I will tell you that.
Now, Bill, let's talk about audio description. What channels in Indianapolis have audio description?
All of your major networks do. A lot of your cable channels or channels that you might get off of one of the services. There's no limit to it, Michael. There's no holding back. Even here in Fort Myers, there is audio description. So it's not held back.
Yeah, and Abby just told me that free demo of YouTube TV, and even it has it now.
Yeah.
So.
Another question. I wanted to go back to what you were hinging on there, Bill, about how it changes how you watch television.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything you were trying to expound on that?
Not so much, except for the fact that, hey, I might say, I don't know, I'm going to your house and I want to watch, I don't know, whatever it is, a ball game, a team or whatever. I can hit that button and say, search for Evansville Aces or the Bradley Braves or Marquette or whatever. It'll show me the Marquette games that are on, when they're going to be on, NFL, those types of things that I can do that I couldn't do with a normal television per se. Maybe you could with the new Comcast with their remote controls and that kind of stuff. But the way that it changes, Lee, is that I can sit there, I want to listen to some jazz, all right? I get some smooth jazz. And it's got such a good tone, I can say, play smooth jazz. Or I can say, play MLB radio from Sirius XM. Boom, right there. So it's more than just a television. It's a radio receiver. It's something, you know, that I can look stuff up on. So that's why I say it changes television.
Yeah, and podcasts as well.
Oh, yeah, podcasts too.
So I'll mention this here because we have most of the people here either attended or have some affiliation with the Indiana School for the Blind. Bill, you started a new podcast, and you can listen to that with Lady A by saying, seems to work best by saying Indiana School Blind Alumni. It's supposed to be Indiana School for the Blind Alumni, but sometimes it doesn't pick up the for the. But you can do that with your Lady A, Google Home, or even your iPhone. So the first one we put up was the awesome presentation by Bernie Egan at the last convention. last year.
We've
so
got one coming in with the gal that wrote the school alma mater. And we've got more. So some of you people out there in the audience will be victims. So, and it doesn't always have to be an ISB student. It may be a staff member. It may be somebody affiliated with the blind community.
Right, or someone who is blind and just has right. done amazing things in her life, and we want to share those stories and give inspiration to people. So right. anyways, I mentioned that there. So do we have any other questions for we? Because we do have some other things to cover as well here today.
Ron.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Ron.
Hey, Bill. Mike, I was wondering, so you said that the smart TV can play audiobooks, or
it
are you meaning books from the library? Or
not, okay, from a service called Audible or like that. It cannot play NLS book yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Audio, oh, yet. Okay.
Yeah.
Audio.com, those books?
Yeah, those audio books or Audible. Yes, it most certainly can. Okay. That's a podcast. So, Ron, you do a podcast, it's going to be on there.
Oh, okay.
So anything, if I type in or say NFB, it will give me everything that's on audio on the NFB, the president's report. So, you know, what I'm a believer in, I'm going to say this real quick. I don't care what organization you belong to or do. We're all blind mm-hmm. people, and we all love technology. We all have the same needs, shopping needs. We're talking about an iPhone coming up and the Freestyle Libre. We all have the same needs. It makes no difference. So,
exactly.
You know, we are tech evangelists, and I'm blind as to what affiliation or what organization. We need to reach out and help each other. And if I get in trouble for saying that, so be it. But we are going to help people. And, you know,
and I do believe, I've been told, I haven't tried it, but I do believe you can listen to NFB Newsline through your Fire TV.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So
is that from, okay?
Yeah.
Check that.
So yeah. So it does almost anything Lady A can do.
I'm trying to see if that does all the features and everything, just like the Amazon Alexa, maybe.
Yes.
In that mind frame. Okay.
Right.
I can see that working like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, we don't know. You'd have to thoroughly test it to make sure it does everything. But I'm told it does work. That came up in the last Newsline event. Someone had asked that, and they said it does work. So,
yeah, I know that. And it was talking about, just like with the Amazon Alexa, it still has some tools that it still needs to learn how to use.
Well, I think that's...
And it may be that some of the older Lady A's won't work with it, you know, if you got some...
Well, I'm going to tell you one little story here. We came down to Florida this time. They put in a new cable system or a new system. Got here, it was totally inaccessible. I couldn't use my TV screen at all, whatever. So the tech people came out, and then the guy said, well, we can't do nothing for you. So this young kid came in, just started working for the company that day. He goes, hey, man, we got an app on here. Try this app. Let's put this app on the Fire TV and see what happens. Put that app on there, free of charge. I was able then to watch all of my cable channels accessibly, and bingo, I was right back in business. Could watch, you know, everything that I needed to do. And it just worked. So that's where that TV made a difference right there, in finding a young kid who knew about that.
Yeah, that could be an issue as you get cable, you know.
Right.
You try to interface this and you might not get someone who has the knowledge. So it's important for you to know what it's capable of. So when they tell you it can't be done, you say, oh, yes, it can. I know people. And so I did want to mention, though, also you might want another TV that supports something called Roku, R-O-Q-U. And that will let you install your Comcast of the Stream app right on the television so that you can essentially use it as you would your cable box. I don't think it quite has every feature, but so you could do that. And, you know, so say you got a second TV in the house and you don't want to pay for another cable box or whatever, you can do that. And that, so there's many options out there. This Toshiba, there's also a company called Insignia. I would personally recommend staying away from that, just from the things I hear. So I'd say if you want to do the Fire TV, I would look more for the Toshiba brand.
One last question. This is Ron. Is the Fire TV and the Smart TV different or the same?
Same thing.
Same thing. Okay. Same.
It's just a Smart TV is a term. They're talking about all the TVs that Michael's talked about, but they're one and the same. You can find them. Like I found two of the three of these that I've got right here in the house, $89 a piece at Best Buy's. Got it, plugged it in, and boom. You know, so they're there. You know, it just depends upon the size, but it's one and the same. Smart TV, it just may be a different operating system, a different brand, but that's a generic term used for these types of television.
Okay, make sure we cover everything here in our hour. I want to move on here, but it, certainly if you have any questions, you can... Go ahead, Susan.
Hey, I was just wondering if there's anything available for, say you are away from home, you're staying in a hotel, and you're not able to use the TV there. What would you do? Is there voice built into some of this stuff, or is there something you carry with you that you can connect, or what?
Well, see, with Bill things, I would say your best bet would just be to, you know, you can run these things on your iPhone, and that might be one way. You can do a lot of this stuff on your iPhone. So if you got a TV in a hotel, you're going to have to figure out how to navigate and turn on speech in it. You know, you could, I guess, carry your own Fire Stick, but I think the odds of getting that to work because it wouldn't connect to the Wi-Fi. So I would say the best bet if you want to travel and watch accessible TV is to install the apps on your iPhone. Comcast has the Stream app. Spectrum has an app, and you could do YouTube TV or Hulu or Amazon Prime or Netflix and install those apps on your phone. That would be my suggestion for doing that while you travel.
Or even your iPad. They would work on your iPad quite nicely, or any of the cheap tablets you buy for your Android if you wanted to do it that way. So there's all kind of ways. The Fire Stick might be a little more difficult because of what you've got to go through, broadband and all of that type of stuff.
All right. Any other final questions on that?
Yes, Michael, this is Leron. I have a, just in regards to what we just talked about, Ron asked the question about the talking books. I actually happen to have a Vizio. I just purchased a Vizio talking TV, and my son helped me connect all I can control. It's a Roku TV. It can control everything on my phone with our voice remote. So that same command, if you have Bar Mobile on your phone, we listen to all my books on that TV through the remote. So it can work if you can connect your phone to your TV.
That is true.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning. I was going to suggest that as well. I do that as well. I would start a book,
yes,
barred on my iPhone, and then send it over to the TV because it's got a sound bar on it, and that way I can hear it. Sounds like they're right in the room with you. So
a lot of the Amazon tablets you can get are cheap too. You can do the same thing with those. It just, the Fire TV doesn't yet, but I expect that to change at any time. I think it's a barred limitation, not that Amazon wouldn't do it. It's a barred limitation, but yeah. That is one way of doing it. The only thing I don't like about Vizio myself, and maybe they've gotten better, but the speech on that thing. Ugh.
Yeah, we didn't mention Vizio, or there's TCL. I think it's the Roku that doesn't have really good speech, right? And it's,
I mean, that's just my opinion.
Now, a lot of people have said it's not a great speech.
But then again, like I said, that's just my opinion. That does not make it right.
So the main thing I wanted to point out is that there's probably someone in this audience that may already have a TV that talks and you just don't know it. So some folks like the Samsung because, again, it can interface maybe easier with Comcast.
Yeah, if you have a Samsung, I discovered our Samsung does talk. I just had to update the firmware.
We did it last week after we were on the call. We went and tried what you said, and it worked. And we got the Apple TV updated for it.
And I did, if anybody's got an old Apple TV third gen, you can use that even with two-factor authentication. At first, I didn't think you could. I thought you had to have a four, you know, or a newer Apple TV, but the third gen, you can connect to get Apple content using two-factor authentication. It does work, and it updated, and it'll even let you watch your Amazon Prime videos.
And I believe, I'm going to see if Abby's available, but I believe she got it to work to feed you. She did a demo of YouTube TV and got it to actually display on the television. So I was surprised that Apple's working with Google now.
Yeah, there's a YouTube app. Yeah, you can play YouTube videos on it. And then, of course, you can cast anything on your iPhone to your Apple TV. So it's going to go over to TV if you wanted to have, you know, better sound, or if you're low vision, to be able to see pictures and things on your iPhone on your big 55-inch screen.
We talked about there's four alternatives to Zoom. Anytime something does well, they're going to have competition. So I want to mention these briefly. We haven't really tested all of them for accessibility, except for one that we know does work. But just so you're aware of it, if it comes up for discussion. So the alternatives to Zoom, Google's come out with something new called Google Meet, which is kind of an upgrade or change to what they used to have, or still I think have, called Hangouts. There's a new one that the youngins are using called Playground. It has 4.75 star rating, but we haven't tested it for accessibility, but it's apparently very popular. And Facebook is rolling out. I haven't seen it yet, so not everyone gets it at the same time. But it is called Messenger Rooms, and this will allow up to 50 people for free to communicate, as long as the host has a Facebook account, and he or she can send out a link, and others that maybe don't even use Facebook can come in and connect to the room. I don't know about any of them having telephone capabilities. I am told that Facebook was going to do that, but I haven't heard anything, or that's something you have to pay for. But then the final one that is big use in the state of Indiana. So if you're dealing with, you know, Voc Rehab or maybe FSSA or some other organization, I believe Diane Graves, she has said she has to use it in her work. And this is Microsoft Teams. So this is a collaboration tool, you know, for that, hence the name Team. They use it for project, you know, working on projects and so forth. My son uses it with the company he works for out in Arizona, and they do point of sale systems and stuff, and then if they have a problem, they can bring in someone from Microsoft. So you don't have to do that, but I think some schools are using it, and it's definitely on the Indiana state government level. We'll talk about the Freestyle Libre, and then we'll talk about the new iPhone SE, and I'll show you how you can get it for $30 a month, including service.
But okay, I'll make this quick. I don't want to hog any time and monopolize, but I had about 2 years ago, I had a real problem. My blood sugar was out of control. I was up to four different meds, and the doctor said, if you don't straighten up soon, you're going to be on insulin. Oh, man, I don't want to be on that if I can help it. So I read and heard about something where I was able, it called Freestyle Libre, but at that time it was just a meter. So I used to take my iPhone and use something called Scene AI, or I forgot what the other one was called, but I used to use that just to be able to read the screen so I could check my blood sugar. Well, eventually, there are enough people started using this that they made an iPhone app out of it. Well, my success, I was able to take my blood sugar down to a little over 5 and keep it that way for 2 years. I went down to basically 0 on the meds that I now have to take because of this. So I basically just pull my iPhone. We have a demo, and I think Mike's going to share that with you or put it up, that we did over on the our website. One of our contributors did a demo of putting on the sensor and doing that. But it works so well, and it's such a game changer. And we're working on finding price ways to get it cheaper for you and to get Medicare coverage and things. Let me unlock my iPhone here, maybe. Let's see.
NBT route 6 minutes ago. Breaking news update.
Open Libre link. I have no idea. Link.
Slider menu icon. Button. Possibly. All right. Carrot sensor. Check glucose. Button. Check.
I'm going to tap this. Put this
ready
up to my
skip.
Arm.
Possible text. Glucose in range 12. 108 milligrams per Libre link. Back arrow. Slowly. Button.
And it says 108 and changing slowly. No sticks. No problem. No mess. No fuss. Right there. Just as plain and simple. I had that problem. I could, if I eat something bad now, I can tell immediately. And then I either need to curb that behavior or know how to make up for it later. So that to me has been one of the biggest game changers. I love that television, but when it all gets said and done, this has put my life back on track. Now you have to be careful in your diet. You can't just go out and eat three Big Macs and French fries and do all that every day, because it will tell on you. And to me, this has been the biggest game changer of all, to get that diabetes under control.
Slider menu icon, button, possibly.
So it's just a little app I put on my iPhone. You can use it on Android. If you're partially sighted, you can just use the meter if you can see it. There's a way to make your iPhone read that meter, but this is much easier to do that. So, Michael, I'll take
questions. So just a couple of things, and then we'll take questions. I remember we discovered it the night, if I recall, it was the night before the 2018 November election. And we were like at 10:30 at night, we discovered this. And I knew at that moment that this was life-changing, because now people could actually control their diabetes. And this is something that can save lives, help people read Braille, because, you know, they're not sticking their finger all the time and impairing that capability. And I just knew it was going to be big. And one of the issues, though, is a lot of insurance companies won't cover it unless you need insulin. And this is something I think we should set as resolutions this year for the convention, to see if we'd get, you know, NFB involved in working on that, so that, you know, that that doesn't have to be a requirement, and people that just know that they have blood sugar issues can get that coverage. I know sometimes it takes at least a year before an insurance company will add a new product like that, but it is so essential to improving the quality of life for blind Americans. I think it's something that we really should advocate for. Now, the device is good for about 14 days, right, Bill? And then who spoke?
Jean,
go ahead.
I just wanted to say that we are going to be trying to put that on the floor for the Federation to support for us to be able to get insurance to take care of that, because you're right, they won't pay for it unless you're testing, unless you're using insulin and then having to test yourself several times a day. They won't pay for it. But the one thing that I wanted to add to what Bill was saying about using it and how it being such a game changer is. What's really cool I found is that I can now see what my average is. So where it gives me those numbers for what my A1C is, it puts me way ahead so that I know to start working on it if it's too high before I go to my doctor's visit.
Well, great. I'm very excited that the National Federation is going to pursue that, because I think it's very important.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
How expensive is it without insurance coverage?
It cost me $120 to get the two that I need for the month.
And that's 28 days, right? They're 14 days apiece?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So theoretically, you would need 26, I guess, over the course of a year.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They also, if you contact Libra directly, or Abbott Labs, they have a grant that they will give out. They don't talk about it much, but they will give you a grant which will bring that down and make it affordable if you do not have insurance to cover it. Because I've talked to two of my friends who have gotten that grant.
I found out when I called them because I don't use insulin, I found out that they would not let me get the discounted price. Although your doctor can also give you the card that you can just phone in that phone number, and they're supposed to give you a discount that would lower the price so that two of them would cost $80. But it didn't work for me because I don't take insulin.
Yeah, the reason I asked, I tried to get the doctor to give me a prescription for the meter, and she said that, you know, I couldn't get it covered without taking insulin, and I like the idea of having it because you don't mess up your fingers and you're still able to read Braille and everything.
Right. And Karen, they told me the same thing, but what happened was I told them that my A1C was not as low as I knew I could get it down to, and that I wanted to take control of my diabetes yeah. and not wait on it to get so high that all of a sudden you're telling me I'm on insulin or I need an amputation or something. And so I said, I am willing to pay for it. I just need you to write the prescription.
Okay, well, maybe that's what I'll do then, because mm-hmm. I tried a couple of times and they keep telling me no.
Yeah, yeah, they will. If you tell them you're willing to cover the cost for it, then they'll go ahead and do it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's it's a life changer. Any
really
final
is.
Questions or thoughts on that? And with Bill, yeah, you share me that demo and I will post it.
I put it over there for you, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't see that.
I put it in there. Yes, I did.
I'm sorry.
This is Pam. Here.
Yes, Pam.
Pam.
Yes.
There are good, what it is called, a good RX card you can get online, and a lot of different ones that will bring your insurance. If you don't have insurance, they'll come down a lot on different medications. So that's something that people ought to be aware of. Look it up on the internet. There's all kinds of them.
There sure is.
This is Ron.
I was wondering, Gene, I know Karen said something about they wouldn't write a prescription for a meter. Don't you use your iPhone for yours instead of a meter?
Well, I have both, though. I have their meter and I have the sensor. But because sometimes when you test yourself, it will tell you that you need to test with the meter.
Oh, instead of your iPhone?
Yeah, after you've done it with your phone. The meter itself is like $80. Now, if you have a meter, then you don't need to buy another one. If you have one that you can use. But I went ahead and I bought the meter and the sensor. So I think my first payment was like $186. It might have been $196, but that was for, and they gave me a $10 discount, but that was for the meter and two sensors. And the price does vary depending on what drugstore you go to as well. We checked on Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, and CVS actually had the better price.
Yeah, that's where, going back to what Pam said, you can get an app for your iPhone called GoodRx, and you can just mm-hmm. type that in there, Freestyle Libre, and it'll tell you from lowest to highest prices what pharmacies are charging in your area.
That's correct.
But you do... So I want a clarification. So even if you want to put it on your iPhone, you still ultimately have to have one meter. Is that correct, Bill? Do you?
No, you do not.
You do not
you
have to
have
the meter.
To.
No,
you no.
Well, that's what I was asking you, Jane.
You don't have you, to.
Can't you just download the app on your iPhone and use that?
Yes. Yes, you can.
It's the sensors you pay for. It's not mm-hmm. the meter so much. It's the sensors that you have to buy that you put on your arm. That's
right.
Where they get you.
Right. The sensors and the sensors only last for 14 days, and it starts to do a countdown to tell you, you know, so that you know to go ahead and put another one on in time before it times out.
Right. Yeah, that's where they get you. Not the meter, but the mm-hmm. those little sensors that you have to put on your arm.
Yeah, they're pretty expensive.
Yeah,
and there's no way to stretch the light.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Karen.
It's Pam. The sensors that you guys are talking about, are those needles you have to stick in your arm anyway?
No.
It's
like a little thing that looks like a little cylinder. When you hear that demo, when he explains it, but it looks like about the size of a quarter. You give it one push in and it stays in your arm and it sticks on your arm through your shower, swimming, whatever, for 14 days. And it really, I'm telling you, if anybody can put this sensor on, I'm probably the world's biggest klutz, and I can even put it on.
Yeah. So. You know, I was having a real problem with the pharmacist because I tried to get them to show me, how do you line it up? What do you need to do? And it's so simple, but she couldn't explain it. So it was funny because my sister came over and she said, oh, okay, you turn, you just twist, take the sensor part out, you open up the pull the cover off the other one, and you line it up with the tab that's on the one cup with the paper over it, and the other one that you're going to put down in there. There's a line going straight down it, and it's a rather wide line, so you can fill it. And you line it up with the tab. Once you've got it in position, it will just, it, you can fill it when it goes into place. You just mash down on it, pull that up. You already wiped your arm down with alcohol, got it good and clean, and let it air dry. Do not blow on it. Let it air dry, and then you just put it on the fatty part of your arm below the muscle, and you're good.
And do you switch arms every 14 days, I would assume, just to... Do you go back and forth?
I don't.
You don't?
Okay. I don't. I leave it in the same arm. I tried that, but it was uncomfortable for me. So I left. I put it in the same arm. I just tend to move it a little bit.
Right.
Okay. I move it down, or I'll move it over a little bit from the position that it was in.
And I do just the opposite. I do both arms. So,
oh, okay.
You know, I'm, mm-hmm. Nothing's right or wrong for each individual.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, that's a... individuals. Some people might get irritation by using it on the same arm constantly, mm-hmm. but right, you do have a little room to move it around. So,
Oh yeah.
Because what was described about the thickness of 2/4, something like that.
That's about it.
Yeah, about.
Well,
any other questions on the Freestyle Libre?
And guys, the little sensor that goes in your arm does not hurt.
No.
It's like a little, it doesn't even feel like a pin stick. It doesn't hurt at all. It's like if somebody was to like just pinch your skin a little bit, that's what it feels like to me.
Not at all.
Yeah, because I understand there is like a really very, very small needle that just penetrates the very outer layer of skin.
Mm-hmm.
So now... maybe you can answer this. I was told that the only, and it's not really a disadvantage, but that it's not really reading your blood. It's reading a fluid. So it may be a 5-minute delay or something between what your actual reading is and what this device is showing. Is that true, or do we know?
I don't know about that.
I'd heard that.
Do you mind?
It might be close to that.
Might be
close to accurate, but
it's
the concept here. It's getting mm-hmm. you in the right mode to control that blood sugar. Whether mm-hmm. it's 1 or 2 degrees off or points off, it's not going to make any difference. But when you can take a blood sugar average of 9.3 and take it down to 5.2,
in
2 years, there's the game changer right there. It's the concept. So,
right, not only food, but exercise, and you can see how everything affects you. You can take it as much throughout the day as you want.
You can keep track of all of that. And it's really excellent. Bill, I'm with you, because mine, when I started, had gone up, and I have no idea when it happened, but it went up to 8.9. And now it's down to 6.4.
And that's excellent.
And that's within months. Yeah, that's excellent. Just within some months. So I think I'm doing really good.
You are. And my problem was they had me on so much meds, then my blood sugar kept spiking down low. Mm-hmm. I'm in the 40s, the 30s. So that was a real, real problem. In fact, I was broadcasting live on the air and passed out 2 times.
Oh, wow.
When my audience didn't know what was going on and were very much concerned. So
that's something to keep in mind, that if you are currently taking medicines for your blood pressure and then you begin doing this and altering your diet, that you have to keep all that in account and communicate with your doctor, or realize that you might need to, like Bill, between when you got an exercise bike and just diet changes, been able to eliminate the meds. And that's great. I mean, we're talking saving lives here. And that's why I'm excited to see that, you know, the NFB getting involved in trying to get this, insurance companies that they have to offer this, because it doesn't get any better as far as prevention and saving lives that I can think of.
No better at all. And Michael, I'm going to have to bow. I've been on the...
Okay, no problem. Well, I thank you for that. And again, I will...
And get I will the, come back if I'm allowed to.
No, certainly. And we'll get the demo for Dave Riekert, I guess, instead of playing it here, because I think it's about a half hour. We'll put it up on the website. Got to get people over there somehow. nfb-in.org, and we got these right on the front page. You can still listen to the most recent board meeting. And
I can do to help you guys spread the word, do whatever we got to do, because we got to be one. We have to be strong and do what we have to do. All right, I'm going to go.
Thank you, Bill.
Hey, no problem. I'll see you when I get home. Before,
if we
get a flight out of here, maybe if we ever get a flight home, we'll be home. All right.
That's right. And you can, I'm sure Bill doesn't mind if you email him, bill@billsparks.org, if you have any further questions or you finish this meeting and you think of something else you'd like to know, you can do that as well. So I guess with that, we are about done, but I want to go ahead and talk about the iPhone SE second generation. I'm very excited about this device because you're getting some of the latest technology at the lowest price ever. And I found a way the other day that you can get this device with cell service for as low as $30 a month. So we'll talk about that. But so the iPhone SE second generation, you know, there's the original SE. I would have thought they would come up with another name for it, but that's what they call it, iPhone SE second generation. It comes in three models, and that has to do with the availability, the storage on it. The base unit, $399. That's a 64 gig. I would think most people could work with that, but if you store a lot of books and videos and things, maybe you need something a little larger. But you can get $50 more, 128 gig, you can get $449. Or if you need the biggest 256 gig, it's $549. So let's talk about what the differences are. First of all, if you have the original SE, or maybe we should talk about why you'd want to upgrade, because I think that's kind of important. For one thing, the Freestyle Libre, you have to have at least an iPhone 7. So I'm glad I thought of that to mention that. So if you're still rocking a 6S or 5S or 6 or the SE, it's not going to work for you because you have to have the technology to support that. But if you have the original SE, it's not the same size. It is a little bit larger, but it is still a pretty small phone. It's the same size as either the 6, 7, or 8. Now, the biggest advantage is it has the latest, probably most powerful chip in any phone, iPhone or Android, to my knowledge. It's called A13 Bionic. So this means that phone's going to be fast. It's going to rock. It's going to just do amazing things. But what else comes with it? They have something upgraded called Wi-Fi 6. So that way, if you have a newer router, maybe you're Comcast or someone's giving you a newer router, some people are getting gigabit speeds, you will be able to take advantage of that. And also, you'll have faster 4G and LTE. So you might notice that your speeds on your cell network improve as well. Now, it seems to have the same battery as the iPhone 8, so it's not as good as you have a new 10 or 11, but it's going to work very well for you. Now, one thing, if you have an older iPhone, you're going to note the new one does not have a headphone jack. It does the audio through the Lightning port. They do give you a pair of earbuds that have that kind of connector on it, so you can plug it in there, or I don't think it comes with it now, but a lot of the phones, they give you a little adapter, and you plug your headphones into that, and then you plug it into your Lightning port. So that's something to be mindful of. But it does come with a pair of earbuds that will work with it. It also has the capability of wireless charging. I've heard some say that's not as good on your battery. I don't know, but it is a pretty cool concept that you can lay it on this mat or sometimes a little stand and you set the phone in there and it starts charging. So that's kind of neat. You don't have to worry about plugging it in, finding the cable. But that wireless charger would be sold separately. It supports stereo recording with limitations. And that meaning if you want to record in stereo, you have to use the actual camera app. So you'd have to record a video. So if you use the built-in voice recorder in it, it will not be stereo. Although you could install another microphone or something, like I use with mine. It's a $50 microphone, and you could do that and record in stereo if that's something of importance to you. Now, the older phones have what's called 3D touch in your 7 and 8, and this is replaced with what's called haptic touch. And this is something a lot of people don't know, and even it took me time to figure this out. But you can put your finger and hold on those icons, and sometimes you'll get other options. And a good example is, instead of having to go into your app store and update everything, you can hold your finger over that app store with just a little bit of pressure, and then it'll pop up and let you update your apps without having to go in and find them all and do all that. So that's a pretty neat feature. It's a nice little shortcut. So I'm looking through here, seeing if there's anything else. The other difference, I guess, would be the camera the newer 1011, you have basically a tri-lens, so it's like having three cameras. You can take multiple pictures and do a lot of more editing, cropping, things of that sort. So if you're really into video, but that's not to say that this camera is nothing to sneeze at. It is 12 megapixel and should meet the needs of most people. I don't know if your view of image, you know, is going to be as wide, because I know some people like with the 10s and 11s, they like IRA because they can see them. IRA can see what you're doing a little easier. You don't have to turn your body left and right and all that as much, but it's a respectable camera. 12 megapixels, certainly nothing to sneeze at. The new SE does not have something that the 1011 does called a U1 chip. And what this is used for is, I don't know if any of you have ever done AirDrop, which is a pretty cool feature. That way, if you're near somebody, you can actually transfer files or a contact with them. And that's kind of neat. Abby and I did that. We exchanged, some of our friends and family contacts and so forth. So, and then Apple's coming out with something later this year called Apple Tags. And these are things you can affix to remote controls or key rings or things that you might easily lose. And then your phone could go find those devices. So while that will still work without this U1 chip, it may not be as accurate, you know, so you might have to grope a little bit more, but I'm sure you could still find your items. Now, the biggest thing, I suppose, is that the new iPhone SE is not going to support, and nothing does as of this date. That's going to be the next version 12, whenever that comes out late in the fall. But it's 5G. Okay, so I personally think it's going to be a few years before 5G rolls out. It's going to be really fast, where your phone is going to move as quickly as your home internet speeds. And there's going to be a lot of great things that come from that, but that's going to take a while. I really believe it's going to be a few years before we have that capability. But as I said earlier, 4G will be faster, and your home Wi-Fi will be faster.
So, Mike, this is Ron.
Yes, Ron.
Can you talk to us a little bit about this 5G and why people are afraid of it, and they keep saying it's going to be intrusive and all of that craziness? I don't know all about that, but can you give us some updates on 5G? Because
well,
they're putting some lines out now in Indianapolis.
Yeah, there are parts of Indy that do have the service. Verizon has rolled it out there, and maybe even AT&T. I don't know why people are afraid. It's just a scam online, and people are, especially where they're saying it causes COVID-19. I mean, that's just a scam. That's just people trying to start something. I suppose some people fear it because, you know, of a radiation factor, and the verdict is still out. You know, some people think, can you get cancer? Can you have problems from the radiation from your iPhone and holding it to your face? Well, no one has scientifically proven that is the case. However, there are some people, I suppose, that are sensitive to radio frequency. And so I suppose, in theory, if you had something like that maybe that person might be a little bit more sensitive to a 5G phone, but there's been nothing that's proven that it causes any kind of cancer. Certainly not that would have anything to do with COVID-19. That's just a blatant scam. But yeah, it is an indie in some areas. So,
and they were talking about something about it, the government being able to track you with it more. They can know where you are, who's in the house with you, and all that crazy. I don't know. That stuff is on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, the government can kind of track you now. Quite honestly, I mean, if you're really worried about it, I'd be turning my phone off. You know, but now they can track you a little closer than they can now because they got to ping off the cell phone towers, and you might have a little 30-foot window. So I suppose you could hide, but they still essentially know where you are. But yeah, it might be a little more precise knowing. So, but to me, if I was really worried about that at this point, I would just be turning off the phone or leaving it home if I needed to go somewhere that I didn't want anyone to know about. I mean, that's just, I just believe privacy is a thing of the past. I mean, I hate to say that, but that's really, I know in my work in the Better Business Bureau, and we studied and researched a lot of this stuff, and it's just not, I mean, Apple does a lot of good stuff to encrypt it, so someone would have to make a real effort to know where you are and what you're doing. In fact, if you call 911, it activates your phone, and I think it may even activate your camera. So, you know, the technology is there, so you have to decide convenience versus privacy, and especially now with the COVID-19, because you got Apple and Google working together to come up with something that can determine if you were near someone who had COVID-19. And so they say it's supposed to be optional, but that's...
On that 5G, they're already using it a lot in China, and they are doing that, they're tracking, but they're under a whole different system there. You know, they don't have to ask for rights, different rights. But there's some good information out there, Ron, and I can text it over to you, the different links that I've gotten. Matter of fact, Leron is very up on that 5G stuff. And, but it's very interesting, and I think people should take a look at it, and you know, especially with some of the placing of those towers and some of the effect that they have on people's internal organs that they're talking about, you know, your heart and liver and all that kind of stuff. So it is something that people are looking at as far as protesting as well. So, you know, it's on both ends of the spectrum right now, and it can be intrusive from what I've been reading as well. So I'll send you some of those links over, or Michael, I can send them over to you and you can post them or something.
Yeah, we certainly take a look at that.
I will say that this Google and Apple effort is actually using Bluetooth to detect proximity of COVID positive people to other individuals and alerting a potential exposure. It's actually using Bluetooth since it's a very short range and you pretty much have to get within a certain distance of somebody in order to pick up that signal. That's part of what they're using in this software, these apps for Google and Apple.
Yeah, so the biggest issue there is going to be mandates in the workplace. That's going to be a real hot button issue here coming up.
And you can opt out of it.
You can opt out of it, but what will they do as far as employers? Will employers have the right to do things that either acknowledge, you know, detect your phone in their building? So, yeah.
Some people don't even have phones.
That is true. And some people may even leave them at home as a result of that. But
exactly.
There's some wristbands now that some employers are mandating that they can kind of does the same thing that you're talking about with the Bluetooth and the phones to know where you are so they know, hey, if the person standing beside you in the meatpacking plant has COVID, and maybe you will as well. And I don't know how you can accomplish that and still keep any kind of privacy. They say it doesn't identify individuals. Well, it has to at some point. They're saying, well, the HR person can see it, but then they log out and no one else can. Well, if one person can, you know, others will as well. So there's a lot
even
of privacy.
Even aggregate data can elevate, you know, classifications.
But it sounds like it's a good thing in more ways than not. I mean, you know, if not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't be worried about being tracked. And then the second thing is that if you I could see some people having some issues with it because then they'll say, you got COVID, you know, or something. It could get crazy. And then, you know, if everybody can know that you have it or something, maybe if employers just know and not everybody in the workforce, because then they could start to discriminate left and right against you.
We're already seeing that. We're hearing stories of people who have COVID and go back to work and they're being discriminated by their coworkers. They're probably afraid. Just like blind. Hey, I'm going to catch it, you know?
Exactly. You're exactly right.
But
that is incredible. But then
they were talking about that you had to be in contact, like within, you had to be near someone for a whole 15 minutes. I thought, well, there's a lot of much quicker interactions. It only takes a sneeze. It only takes a couple seconds, you know?
You just blow droplets at somebody in a very brief passing and it can transmit. So,
and ventilation systems. They've got proof of restaurants where 15 feet away people were, and still, because you don't. So you go back to a restaurant, do not sit in a table underneath an air vent. Not a good idea. So,
Michael, if I may, just one of the things that this is late, Ryan, just in regards to 5G, 4G, 2G, 1 technology period, I'm not even really relating it to the COVID-19, but just our personal health. My mother also works, you know, she's the head clinical nurse for gastro bypass and minimal invasive surgery at the University of Kentucky. You know, she, and along with several other people, even in the tech world, we acknowledge that there are health risks when it comes to the amount of radiation emitted and frequencies emitted from technology, period. Whether it be our TVs, our televisions, our cell phones, our government has put out several documentations. I used to work for Sprint when there was a lot of litigation at that time, even when it was even starting to roll out a 2G format and the health risks that came came with that, and that's when the big debate in regarding frequencies and cell phones. And so it's just, as we talk about a lot of this technology, it's just a good point that Ron even brought that up. It's just not even necessarily about the COVID. It's just that we're all aware, at least, of what health risks are involved with the things that we use. If you acknowledge that risk, you take that risk. That's understood. But if you also don't know, it's good for you to know so you can take steps accordingly. And so, everybody make their own decisions. However, let us just also, when we talk about a lot of this tech, let us also be conscious and cognitive of the health risks that come along with that, just so that we can handle that technology in a better way.
Yeah. But read this stuff. Use common sense when you're reading and do your research, because after all, there was a time when it was believed if you traveled on a vehicle that moved faster than 15 to 20 miles an hour, faster than a horse could go, it could do internal organ damage. So, there's always anything that's new, there's a fear.
Yeah, and I should say, I haven't really researched it, so I probably should have just said when that question was first posed that I haven't delved into it a lot. I do know, though, I will say this, I do know amateur radio operators that have the HF radios or the VHF or UHF radios up at 440 megahertz, and they have had damage to their eyes by using those radios. Even police that have had the higher frequency radios have had damage to their eyes. And, it would stand to reason that I think it's one of those things that some people could be affected more than others. I don't think it's like even across the board, just like the COVID, 2% of people lose their life, 98 sick for a couple of days and move on. So people will be affected differently, but it is reasonable to say that some people probably would experience something. But with that, I'll go back and on my notes here and say that the SE does not support 5G. So if that's a concern, maybe that could be another reason why you would want that phone if you really do worry about 5G technology. And hey, if more people move to 5G, then your 4G will probably be faster as well. The other thing, it has no, it doesn't have the face ID, and that could be good or bad. The 10 and 11, you actually have to wake the phone, raise it up near to your face, and then I don't know, once a week or something, it still asks you for your, makes you put in your password, your PIN code or something. But and some blind people have issues with that. They can't. Oh, wait, we got someone talking. Where's that noise? I don't want to mute everyone, but.
Yeah, somebody needs to mute. I can hear the turkey caller in the background.
So ask anyone who doesn't want to speak, please mute yourself, and we'll see if we can. Okay, I think it's gone. Thank you.
One thing on a positive note about this new SC, I can tell you right now, I am speaking to you on an SC second generation. We, Pam and I, ordered them. We pre-ordered them and got them 2 days ago. And I will tell you that with VoiceOver, they work very well, very much snappy. Now, from my perspective, we updated from the older SE, which was used the same processor as a 6S. So now we're using the same processor as an 11. We got that 13 Bionic chip. So, yeah, so I can tell you, VoiceOver is much more responsive, and it does work very well. And I can tell you, the fingerprint sensor is very quick. You just touch that thing, and it unlocks your phone.
Now, it's probably you haven't had it long enough. I'm curious about battery life.
It seems to be pretty good, though. I killed the battery yesterday, but, of course, played with it a lot. So, I'll tell you, but it's not bad.
Right. So that a lot of people might like it just for that fingerprint sensor, because like I said, some blind folks have issues with the new facial detection. So we don't know if they're holding the phone too close or maybe not at the right level.
A lot of blind people like using their phones. They'll leave them in their pocket, and they may have earbuds or, the AirPods or Aftershocks or something they're wearing, and they just got the phone in their pocket, and they reach in there and pocket and gesture it and all that stuff, but they don't want to wake their phone up and not bring it out by touching it. Now, with the newer phones, and they have to bring it out and actually let it see their face.
That is correct.
And this is a phone that they don't. And now, of course, I have heard rumors that the 12 and beyond, that there might be possibility that it won't be, because they're not going to have a home button, but they may have a section, a place where you, where they might bring fingerprint back. But that's just a rumor. I wouldn't count on it. But this phone here definitely has it. So that's a big plus for a lot of people that like the fingerprint.
And it's also, yeah, that's a great point that was mentioned, that you can keep the phone in your pocket and the new ones you can. And there's also been concerns that if people start wearing masks, will their phone recognize them? So they
might go.
That's true. That ain't going to work.
I guess you have to have your masked.
You'll have to create a separate profile for your mask.
But then mask, if you, and you're not masked. The thing is, somebody can take your mask. Hey, no. Or you change your mask. It's like, wait a minute, now I'm wearing my Elvis mask. It don't work.
Exactly. So my final thing here on the, you know, the iPhone SE is that I did hear the other day in a podcast, and I researched it, and I checked out the company, and I know I've talked to people using it in Louisville, but you can get the iPhone SE second generation with unlimited voice and data and with 3 gig a month. So you can get the phone and a cell plan for $30 a month. If you need a little bit more, you can get 8 gig for $35 a month, including your phone, or $40 a month for 12 gigabytes. And so what that is that's a that's a company called Mint Mobile, and basically they're a reseller of T-Mobile. And like I said, I've spoken with people in Louisville, Kentucky, so I do know it works. They've said they've had no issues with it at all. I suppose there could be an issue maybe if you needed support, although they claim they have support, but I don't know anyone that's used it to, you know, they claim they're saving you money because, you know, you're bypassing the store. And, you know, right now I'm doing the 55 plus thing, so I'm paying $50 a month. So if I could get that down to $15, that's looking pretty enticing. But the one catch is, either if you buy it directly from them, they either pay for the phone or your data in full for a year, but they're using some bank called Affirm, I think, in New Jersey. So you can maybe get 30 or 35 a month, get your cell service and your phone. So that might save a lot of people money and allow them to upgrade and get the phone currently. I don't know. My one concern is about the blind community. If there's people that are only on SSI or SSDI, if that's not considered income, if they would actually get the loan for the phone. But I did want to mention that because that is one economical way. And if you do the Mint Mobile thing, you can, that's MintMobile.com. And you can also set up referral links. So if you use someone's referral link, you'll get an extra $15 or an extra month of free service. And you can, I think your own account, you'll get like $48 of credit on your account. So they said if you referred 5 people, that you would actually get a free year of service. And they also have an affiliate link. So you could, you want to make get physical money, you get like $20 a piece. But anyway, I wanted to share that as a way to $30 to $35, $40 a month to get cell service with the reseller of AT&T, or I'm sorry, reseller of T-Mobile. It's called Mint Mobile, MintMobile.com. That is one way that you could approach it. So that's really all I have on it. We'll see if any final questions on that or anything we've discussed today. But I'm glad to see Tony and Pam like your phones. I have an 8, so I don't know. I'm kind of, you know, I don't really have to upgrade, but it would be.
This is Ron. I want to thank you guys for this. I think we need to do this again because I have 100,000 questions. I'm a neophyte at all of this technology stuff, phone usage and all of this stuff. I wanted to talk about bumping iPhones and transferring money in the Zelle cash apps. And I want to talk about PCs and how that works when you're trying to do I can't think of the name of it right now. But anyway, when you're using those apps to do money transactions and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, that's what I think this was a good topic, and I think we could do more of it.
Well, I appreciate that because, yeah, I need to know what topics, what things you want us to delve into more deeply, other subjects that we haven't covered, or come back to any of these issues and go a little more thoroughly into them, because I try to spend a couple hours on each and do a little bit of research and put together facts and try to speak with some level of knowledge, although I don't know much about the
Michael, we do appreciate all the work you put into these calls. So maybe we should let you have a break next week and let some of the sports guys come on. They really want to do one on sports. So, but I agree with Ron. I like the techie ones myself because I learn a lot and I'm learning this phone. But I actually like my new phone. So, but it's pretty fast. But we were back in the old ages when we had that SE, the first one. So, you know, it's a big improvement from that one. So, but anyway, maybe we can talk, if you could set us up one, and I'll talk to Daniel and see if he wants to do one on hockey. I don't know, you know, probably won't be the same group on here, but you never know. So if we can do one on sports next week, I'll get a hold of Daniel and see if he can do that. And I'll let you know by tomorrow, okay, Michael? And if not, we'll do another techie one, okay?
Okay, well, yeah, definitely coordinate that. And Daniel, or we want to do...
Well, anybody that's into sports, I know we probably would get Darnell or
right, Darnell and
beat basketball. Yeah. Beat baseball.
This is Leron. This is Leron. I play beatball.
Yeah, right. Yeah. A lot of our people do. So yeah, we've got a lot of people that are interested in beatball, and we'll get some people. Maybe get Daniel to talk about his, and if there's any other sports you guys want to hear about.
I think would be interesting.
I think we could probably have them all three on, talk about b-ball, gold ball, and blind hockey,
and maybe even somebody from bowling.
Talk about bowling, golf, flying golf. There's a lot of sports out there, man.
Right. So that's what I'm going to try to get arranged for next week, Michael. And I'll get back with you for sure if that works for you.
Yeah, please. I'll let you coordinate that, and that would be great. And we'll just host it and make it happen and get them.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thank everyone.
One more thing on the tech, if we can add some Android stuff. I'm one of the Android users, so some of this information would be helpful that might apply to an Android device as well.
Okay.
Talk about it. Android is different depending on what device you have, but we can certainly talk about it. They're doing some cool stuff. I do have a tablet that runs Android.
I know a guy who loves Android.
I'm a note advocate.
You know, guys, we never did talk about, I mean, we're talking about phones, but we didn't talk about note takers and, you know, so much stuff out there.
There's so much.
Right. I have to let someone else lead that.
Because
I'm one of those who kind of feel that we should find mainstream solutions. So I'll let someone else talk about the benefits of note takers because I just don't, although I do have a Q-Braille, so I guess that could be considered a note taker, I suppose. But I just want to hear ideas of shows that you guys want to do so that we can, guys and gals, so that, you know, we have direction on where to go with this.
One of the things I'm interested in, and some of you guys might know, and that is about the legislation that's going on now surrounding e-learning. I mean, some blind people are falling behind because they don't have accessible equipment to use. And so we got to have someone on here to talk about that. Our kids need educating while they're out of school, just like these other kids are getting educated. And some of the blind are not being educated because they cannot have, they don't have the e-learning equipment. They don't have the accessible website. They're not using the computers that they sit home with the, quote, normal kids. They're not being able to use these things because they're not accessible to us.
And so
we gotta put it in the forefront of things that, you know, if we're going to live in this world and be, quote, normal, we have to have access. So we might have to have somebody talk about access.
Yep. It's probably a good plan, Ron. Do you have anybody that would have any idea who to get a hold of about that? I just don't.
Yeah, I'll think about it. This week, sometimes, it's an up and coming topic. I'm not saying it has to be now.
Are you hearing from students or parents, or has anyone reached out to the NFB? Yes,
it actually is across the country now. You know, where e-learning is affecting the blind to the point they can do some of it, but not all of it, and they're falling behind their peers. And so, we might have to get somebody talk about it. Maybe not from here, but, you know, somewhere else. Some of the educators. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, it'd be some good stuff for the national convention. So that was we listen to that. And, of course, remind people, if you haven't, please register at nfb.org/convention.
Yes.
And we have the link on our Indiana site as well. You need to get over there. And nfb-in.org, trying to put up most of the important announcements as they come down. I appreciate the emails that you forward because that's what I know. Keep current on all the important issues and to keep the website updated with that. So
thank you very much.